Donna Redwing is a longtime LGBT activist and leader. She is a dear friend of mine. She is a newly elected member of the Interfaith Alliance Board. Donna's also the executive director of One Iowa, the state's largest LGBT advocacy organization. This week, a determined group of activists descended on Iowa as part of a nationwide tour. As members of the Young Conservatives for the Freedom to Marry, they're working to get the GOP to move on from its intractability on this culture war issue. As the fourth state to adopt marriage equality and the place where the primary season traditionally begins, it certainly makes sense for them to spend some time there and to meet with the leadership of One Iowa. For a firsthand look at this initiative, I'm happy to welcome Donna Redwing to State of Belief Radio. Donna, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I know you had a chance to meet with Young Conservatives for the Freedom to Marry. How are they going about working for change?
Well, first of all, it's a very interesting group. The group is led by Margaret Hoover. Margaret Hoover, the great-granddaughter of President Hoover. And she and the others have what are really impeccable conservative Republican credentials. These are people who are conservative in every way imaginable, except they believe that to be a good conservative, one must have an inclusive party. And the party platform, the GOP party platform, excludes those who support same-gender marriage. And so they were interesting. Margaret is interesting. She's a CNN commentator, you know, great Iowa roots because of her family. And so she and these others, they included a Mormon, a devout Catholic, Baptist, evangelicals. They had quiet conversations with a great number of movers and shakers within the Republican Party here in Iowa. And then they also had some more public events.
Donna,
and, yep.
Do they have a chance?
I'd say never say never. I was privy to some of those conversations, and I think that who these people are representing, one, you know, conservative values, and two, supporting same-gender marriage, they got to put, I think, a face and a voice to the narrative around marriage in the GOP that we haven't seen before. They got to sit with people that, you know, activists like me normally wouldn't sit with. And so I think whether they're successful or not this time around, they are beginning that process. And they are doing it, I think, in a way that is thoughtful, that is intentional, and that cannot be ignored.
Is there room for bipartisan cooperation on this, or honestly, would being bipartisan be detrimental?
I think this has to be a bipartisan effort. We now have, 19 states that embrace same-gender marriage. We're close to having 30 states that will allow same-gender couples to marry. It is the way things are moving. But in those places that might be a harder sell, in those places that are much more conservative, I think this needs to be a bipartisan effort. And even, you know, once laws change, the culture has to change. Hearts and minds have to change.
Yeah.
And if we don't extend our hand to our conservative allies, then we're not very good winners, are we?
We're still a long way from 2016. How important is it to lay the groundwork for a shift in position on marriage equality during a midterm election year?
I think, and this is just given my conversations, my quiet conversations with some conservatives here in Iowa, mm-hmm. I think people are looking for a way to make that move in a way that won't hurt their election prospects. I think what the young conservatives do by talking about a more inclusive party, by talking about a party that embraces its younger members, by talking about a party that embraces LGBT people, mm-hmm. I think they're beginning to do that. They are the future of the Republican Party, and that's part of their message.
I have to apologize in advance to all of my good friends in Iowa, but I have to ask this question. Does Iowa hold special influence on the national political parties due to its first-in-the-nation status during the caucus and primary season, or is that just the way it used to be?
I think Iowa still holds a very important place. This weekend, the family leader, under the leadership of Bob Vanderplatz, is holding its annual summit, and virtually every Republican presidential would-be candidate is here for that. Hmm. And they're here because the caucus season has already started.
Mm-hmm.
I think if one wants to be president, one has to spend a lot of time in Iowa.
Yeah. This is a huge thing these young people are trying to do. What it would be a good sign that they're on the right course and that they're making progress as you see it?
I think we have to look at what this group of young conservatives wants to do, first of all. In their Reform the Platform campaign, they simply want to strike existing anti-gay language from the GOP national platform. They don't want to replace language around traditional families. They still believe that the GOP can both embrace traditional marriage and strike anti-gay language.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think anyone thinks that over the next 2 years this group is going to turn the GOP around 180 degrees on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think initially their success can be gauged by who's willing to meet with them, who's willing to hear them, who's willing to have the conversations with them. And if Iowa is any, if we can look at what happened in Iowa, there was some real success here.
Right.
They'll be going to other states around the country. And I think over the next few months, we'll see what kind of conversations take place. So that's the first gauge, I think, of success.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second is if this conversation becomes bigger than they are, if this is a conversation that other members of the GOP have in their quiet conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
As they look at the party and the future of the party, they need to think about who it includes and who it excludes. And so I think another gauge of success, which is one I'll never be privy to, but somebody will, is in those quiet conversations that members of the GOP and GOP leadership have.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if there's any shift in the platform, and that could be a very slight shift or a very large one, but any shift in the platform, I think, could be considered a success.
Five years ago,
three states embraced same-gender marriage. If anyone said we'd be celebrating 19 and looking at 30 5 years later, we would have said that's impossible.
Right.
So I don't think it's impossible to make those, small but profound shifts in the platform.
Donna, I don't even know whether this is a relevant comment or not, but it seems to me that these people are up against something that is even more difficult than what was formerly in the Republican Party. I remember, and you would too, Interfaith Alliance working very closely with log cabin Republicans, the Republican Party members who were advocating gay rights then, and they had a respectable place in the party. That was no longer true the last time around. And so what they're facing is a heavily entrenched Republican Party that is non-inclusive.
But what I think they bring to this conversation, you know, they're not rhinos. They're not Democrats in GOP clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are truly Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who, on every other issue, are lockstep with the Republican Party. And I think here they have had conversations with two different kinds of Republicans. They've had conversations with Republicans whose understanding of religious liberty and religious freedom is more in line with Interfaith Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's movement there. There can be movement there. Then they've had conversations with Republicans who are really theocrats. You know, people who look at that three-legged stool of church, family, government, church number one, family and government completely intertwined, and see no separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where there will be little or no movement.
You know,
I don't know if that's the majority of the Republican Party. I think it may not be.
Well, yeah, and that's actually where I was going, because you've already brought this up, but I want to bring it up again and elaborate on it a little bit. I mean, people who don't understand Iowa scratch their heads at what a hotbed for politics it is in a presidential election year, but even in an off year. This weekend, as you just pointed out, the Family Leadership Summit is occurring in Ames, and the high-profile conservatives have just run to Iowa to be a part of that. Cruz, Perry, Huckabee, Jindal, Santorum. It never stops, Donna.
Right, and if you looked at the lineup of media that is queuing up, it is, you know, international media, national media. The eyes of the world will be on Iowa this weekend.
You know, I didn't see your name on the program.
Yeah, well, you're not going to.
Well, with religious right figures so entrenched in conservative politics, It is a huge task to take on to say we're going to diminish the role of culture wars on the issues that are important during an election year. But I'm glad these people are working at it. I'm glad they have your kind of encouragement and support. I want to just make the observation, it is an important week for marriage equality advocates. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals this week heard challenges to marriage bans in Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, and Tennessee. We're taping this conversation too early to know what the ruling may turn out to be, but we do know that in the next few weeks, Indiana, Wisconsin, Idaho, and Nevada will all be trying to defend marriage discrimination in the courts. Donna, where do you think things stand?
I think we're winning. I know that we're winning. And here's the thing, and I think this circles back to these young conservatives. The LGBT community and all of those of us who have fought for equality, we are winning. And the question is, what kind of winners are we going to be? Are we going to draw a line in the sand and say, this is us and those people over there are somebody else? Or are we going to extend our hand to them? I think what this group of young conservatives is doing is kind of bridging the LGBT movement and the GOP, and that's absolutely necessary. And if I may say, today, this group of young, serious, passionate conservatives, they're all at the state fair. They're eating God knows what on a stick, and they're enjoying the, you know, the beautiful butter cow and everything that's a part of the state fair.
That sounds exactly like the Donna Redwing that I know and love and respect for her work. Donna Redwing is executive director of One Iowa, a board member of Interfaith Alliance, where she has held several key positions over the years. This week, her organization met with members of Young Conservatives for the Freedom to Marry. I'm sure the young people went away inspired and encouraged. Donna, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Wilson.